Joining us, me this morning is Jan Newsom from DeBryan Seed Company. And if you have a question for Jan, you can always give us a call, 395-1450, or if you want, you can send us a text message, and I'll read the question on the air. That's 280-373. Good morning, Jan, once again. Nice to have you here. And now we can finally focus on what we've promised the listeners, and that's DeBryan Seed Company for a little bit, and their gardens and things like that.
Fun stuff, not ice melt. Yes.
Why did you bring it up?
I don't even
know why.
I just brought that
up. That's your own fault.
Yeah.
You left it off the sheet.
I left it off my cheat sheet, too. But we've got lots of birds coming that are starting to come through, folks, a lot of the spring migrants. So I know there's a lot of people that have seen the robins in force out here, but the bluebirds are back. So get out in your backyard. You can probably trudge through the little bit of snow that's left. At least there isn't 4 feet of it anymore.
I'm starting to see grass out there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Get out there and clean out those birdhouses so the bluebirds will go in there and they will decide that that's the perfect place to have their new nest. So
Now that it's melting, I know that you said before if we throw the feed, just kind of pitch it out into the snow, they won't get to it. If you put it in the grass, is that different? Or that's still not a good idea?
That probably isn't a good idea. They probably won't be able to find it.
Because I know some birds, if they go for the worms, they don't eat the seed anyway, right?
Yeah, no, they usually don't eat seed. Like the robins and the bluebirds, they're not a big seed eater.
Okay.
They will eat suet if you put that out.
Okay.
They will eat, they like fruit also, if you want to put some of that out. We've got the mealworms, the freeze-dried mealworms at the store. You can buy those. You can even put a little water on them so it makes them look not quite so dried out.
I've never asked you this before because where I used to live in Grand Rapids before I moved here to Holland, we would put fruit out all the time on our back porch. And not because we were trying to attract birds, but we actually got a bunch of squirrels. And we would like to say that we helped the squirrels survive the winter because we would always see them on the back porch eating the peaches or whatever we put out there, the apples. Will the squirrels eat the bird feed and some of the obviously they'll eat the fruit.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to fight the squirrels, too.
Yeah, you've got to fight the squirrels. They usually don't eat plain suet. They're not terribly fond of. They're not terribly fond of, like, safflower seeds. Fruit wouldn't be their first thing, but, if it's the only thing out there, of course they're going to eat it.
Right.
Just like, as cold as it's been and as hard as it's been to find food, they'll eat anything. So.
And like you mentioned, cleaning out the birdhouses because the snow is melting and the birds are going to start moving in, right?
That's
coming
right.
Back.
We want them in those houses. So make sure they're cleaned out so the male can make his little nest to impress the females that will come back up in a couple of weeks.
You got birdhouses at DeBryan? Because I know not everybody's a
yes,
Boy Scout.
Do.
So
not everybody has made their own. But yes, we do have birdhouses for the different types of birds. Different birds require different size openings on their houses.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And we also have the little predator guard that you can put on a bluebird house so, like, snakes can't get up there and get in there. So that's kind of a neat thing to have also.
Well, now thinking about that, the squirrels eating the bird feed, I know sometimes people put, like, lubricant on the poles of the bird feeder. So what's the best thing to put onto the pole? I mean, you're not just going to go out there and put, like, butter on it or, what would you use?
Oh, that would go rancid, so I can't imagine that being really a good idea.
Let's just put some Crisco on the pole.
Well, actually, a lot of people do put, like, Crisco or something that does it. If you do that, I'd still put, like, a baffle on it, too, so not only do they have a hard time climbing it, but all of a sudden they get to something that, I can't get around this to get to the feeder. That's usually a good thing. Just making sure that you've got your feeder a good 10 feet away from where any squirrel can jump to get at it is
kind
good.
Kind of put it on an island then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, kind of away from anything else. And I know that's kind of contraindicatory to the fact that you usually want a feeder near some bushes so the birds have a place to go to in case there's a predator around. But, yeah, to get those squirrels from getting in there. I know my brother decided he'd hang his feeders from this, like a fishing wire strung between two trees that were at least 30 feet apart. And those squirrels could go on that wire and walk to the bird feeders. It was a great thing to see. It was like, if they can do that.
Yeah, I would see squirrels all the time traveling. We've got a power line in the house I used to live in, and they would walk across the power line just like
not a problem.
Birds, so
yeah, that would scare the bejeebers out of me. So
not going to see you on top of a wire slacking, huh?
No, you're not.
this is an important thing also to think about with the snow melting, is the moles and rabbits. How much havoc are they going to wreak on our gardens?
They've already done, the rabbits, the mice, the moles, they have done a lot of damage over the winter already.
So it's an uphill battle.
It's going to be an uphill battle, I think, I am afraid, this summer. Moles don't hibernate. They are busy under the snow all winter. So once that snow melts and you're going to see your front yard, I think you might be surprised.
Despite the cold, this is probably a great winter for them because of how much snow cover, and that's insulating some of the cold outside of it. You know?
Yeah, it keeps it nice and warm underneath there, and they have been busy looking for insects to eat, and they've been tunneling all over. The mice just sit there, they just tunnel right at the top of the snow level,
mm-hmm.
or at the bottom of the snow level, right on the top of the ground. They make those little tiny trails all over, and they eat everything. And then the rabbits can go on top of the snow, and they can stand up, and they can eat trees way higher than you would think that they Jeez. Should be able to eat them. So, yeah, we're gonna see lots and lots of damage.
All right, so the snow's melted. You're out getting your garden ready for planting the normal things you would plant once spring comes. What can you do? I mean, you can obviously try to fix your soil, but what do you do with all those mole tunnels and things that are in the garden?
You're going to have to be proactive with the mole tunnels in the garden. And I know they like the garden because it's nice, loose soil.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're going to be, you know, a lot of times. There's a castor oil spray that you can spray in the garden. You're going to have to wait till it gets warmer. But it supposedly gets into the soil, coats their earthworms, which is what they like to eat, with the castor oil. And they don't like that, so they'll go elsewhere. There's a trick to doing that is you start in the middle, spray the middle of the garden, and then a couple days later you spray a little further out and then a little further out to kind of drive them out. You can also put some poison worms down in their active runs. That helps. And trapping them.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
We got a question. A caller is on. Good morning. You're on with Jan Newsom from DeBrine Seed Company.
Good morning, Jan and Dan.
Good morning.
Is it possible to start an Osage orange tree from seed?
Yes, you can. I take it you have a seed that you want to try it?
Well, I have a couple of oranges I'm drying out.
Yeah, try it. Go ahead. It does need warm soil and lots of sunshine, but you should be able to do that this time of year, like in a south window.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just use regular potting soil?
I would use a soilless mixture to begin with, and that's a normal seeding type mixture. And then there is a special one for citrus for later on. But I would start with just a normal seed-starting soil.
Okay. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Sure thing.
I didn't know that you could, I guess growing inside you can do anything, but growing citrus, that's pretty cool.
I have a friend that has a greenhouse and they were eating grapefruit there one day, and it must have been 20 years ago. They have a grapefruit tree growing in their greenhouse
right
now.
In their greenhouse.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great. So, yes, it can be done. It just they just need warm temperatures, so... Just remember, it does have to be moved inside during the summer, so if it does get too big, it might need its own little room in the house.
Absolutely. Once again, we're speaking with Jan Newsom from DeBrine Seed Company. You want to give her a call, you have a question, you can reach us, of course, 395-1450, or send us a text message. We'll read your question on the air to 80373. Something else, Jan, that spring brings us is maple sugaring time.
That's right. Now, Benralti Farm always has their maple sugar event in the spring, and it was supposed to be, I think, last weekend and the weekend before, but it's been, because of the weather, it's been even delayed. So you are not too late to start tapping trees. Maple sugaring at Benralti's, I think, is this weekend and next weekend. So if you want to go there, kind of learn how to do it, we've got the supplies at DeBrine's. You can come pick those up, like little taps and the whole bit. Something fun to do with the kids, you know, learn where the food comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process.
As I say, is it pretty difficult to get the sugar and make the syrup and do all this?
There's an awful lot of sap that you can get out, but you do have to boil it down. And
okay.
It's going to take a while to boil it down, and you'd be surprised how many gallons you need to get a little bit. But
really?
It's a fun thing, and for the kids to learn how to do that, or, you know, just to see it for yourself.
Right.
And you get something that you've made, hey, that's even better.
That's awesome. Yeah. Of course, you can go to DeBrine Seed Company to pick up all the equipment that you need, and you can also pick up things to, I know it's never too late to do this, but especially that spring's coming and it's still sometimes perhaps too cold to plant stuff outside, to plant things inside.
Go ahead. You should really be starting right now. Celery, leeks, tomatoes should all be starting inside right now. And in another week, you can start your broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, eggplant, and peppers indoors. Petunias, alyssum, lobelia, snapdragon, coleus need to be started pretty soon now, too. I've got my petunias. They're up about 2 inches already. They all require warm soil. South-facing window is probably good enough for light, but warm soil is really a necessity. So you may want to think about like a little heat mat underneath there. We do have heat mats at DeBrine's. We have them in different sizes. So
I was going to say, if you have a heat mat, what type of pot? Is it kind of like a dish, or what kind of pot would you
use?
We've
got heat mats that will go under a flat,
okay,
like a typical flat, so you can put it down, put a flat on top of it, put your seeds in there, and it will keep that soil. It's amazing. It only keeps it 20 degrees above room temperature.
Yeah.
But you'd be amazed how warm that feels.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And my petunias have just taken off with their nice little warm. They're on a heat mat, and they love that.
So that's fantastic.
Because last year I did it without the heat mat. Took forever. So this year, it's just like, I'm just so shocked every time I look at them. Oh, they're growing.
It's WHGC News Time is now 8:49. Something else that spring brings are the questions about your trees and emerald ash borers. And do you ever wonder why some of your tree leaves are full of holes, or why some of your trees attract caterpillars and others don't? Do you even know what emerald ash borer trees look like? Don't ask anymore, because DeBrine Seed Store in Zeeland is hosting a Bug Buzz Seminar, which is pretty cool, and that's coming up on Saturday, April 5th at 10 o'clock. Experts will be on hand from Bayer Crop Science to answer all of your questions and help you identify and control the emerald ash borers, Japanese beetles, those little buggers that cause us so many problems, as well as answer all the questions you have. So save your valuable trees and learn how to have a bug-free summer by attending the Bug Buzz at DeBrine Seed Store on Saturday, April 5th at 10 a.m. You can call them, 772-2316, that's 772-2316, to register for this free seminar. That's DeBrine Seed Store, Elmond, Washington, in Zeeland. Jan, thank you so much.